bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacy. Live and Work with Pastor Mensah Otetu. And now, today's word.
Well, today and next week, I'll do a two-part message that I have titled Light Bearers in a Dark World. Light Bearers in a Dark World. Our world is getting darker and darker, not because of electricity failure, but because men and women are turning further and further away from God. And just looking around, you notice that it's becoming more and more difficult for Christians to live the Christian life, because the Christian life has never been easy to live. When you read through the Bible, you see that serving God, living for God, has never been easy. Noah was mocked when he obeyed God by building the ark. Abraham left his homeland to obey God and spent many years waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled. Moses lived as an outcast when he tried to do the will of God. Israel, God's nation, lived as slaves for so many years. The prophets of the Old Testament suffered mockery, imprisonment, and rejection for standing for God. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself suffered and was crucified. His apostles died horrible deaths. And disciples of Christ throughout the ages have always had a tough time living for God. And today we are the ones who are living for God. Nobody is trying to cut off our head or throw us to lions, but our world is making it difficult to live for God because of the pressure it puts on us at every level, on our minds, on our emotions, on our desires, on our appetites. So the Christian life in our day has also become very difficult. So how does a believer, a child of God, live the Christian life in these times? And that's what my message is focusing on. Light bearers in a dark world. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16, where the Apostle Paul speaks to the churches in Philippi and to all of us about how to survive in this kind of environment. And this is what it says from verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. These are words that the Apostle Paul spoke to the church in Philippi. And if you were here last week, I talked about the churches in Macedonia, and the church in Philippi was one of those churches. The passage tells us what our world is like. And the passage uses two words to describe the age we live in and the world we live in. And those words were accurate in the days of Paul, and they are accurate now. And the two words are first, crooked. Crooked. It says that this generation, our world, is crooked. When we say that something is crooked, it means it is twisted and deformed. It is twisted. It is like following a crooked path that meanders and meanders and turns and turns and turns, doesn't go straight to where it is going. And after you followed it for a very long time, you end up in the wrong place. Have you ever been in that situation where you're going to some place in our Accra here, and you start moving, and people tell you, turn this way and turn that way, and you keep turning and turning and turning, and after you've turned and turned and turned and turned, you end up back where you started asking for direction. That is a crooked path. And that is how our world is like. That's what Paul is saying, that our world is crooked. It promises you something, but it doesn't take you there. You end up back with your sorrow, with your pain, with your disappointment, because it doesn't fulfill what you are looking for. So that's the first thing he says about our world, that is crooked. Secondly, it says that our world is perverse. Perverse. What does that mean? It means it is something that is contrary to the right form. It is perverse. It is like drawing a human being with his feet where his head should be and the head where the feet should be. If you saw any drawing of a human being like that, on top of the neck are 2 feet and under the waist is a head. It is perverse. The parts have been misplaced. It's been contorted. It has been misplaced. That's how our world is. It is crooked and it is perverse. And we are seeing our world becoming more and more perverse. Now, how can Christians live in a crooked world and a perverse world? Is it possible? Can we survive? Can we live for God? I believe we can. So, in the passage, the Apostle Paul tells us what God has made us. In the midst of this crooked and perverse world, this is what God has made us. And he says God has made us his children. We are children of God. We are God's people. He has given to us the life of Christ. It's a big deal to be a child of God. It's a big deal. And then it says that as God's children, we are his light bearers. He says we are lights in the world. That means we reveal God to the world. So, the world is crooked. It is perverse. How does God want us to live? What has he given to us to survive? He has made us his children. And he has made us bearers of his light. If you just look at the way the world is going, it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any easier. If Christianity is tough for you parents, think about how it will be for your children. And how it's going to be for your grandchildren. If you think living for Christ now is difficult, wait to see how your children and grandchildren will survive. Because our world is crooked and it is perverse. But God says that in the midst of the perverse and crooked world, we are his children. And we have his light. And then the passage tells us how we must live our lives. As children of God in a crooked and perverse world, how should we live our lives? Verse 15 says that you may become blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault. Blameless and harmless. God wants us to live blameless. That means without fault. Though our world is crooked, we must be without fault. We must not participate in the perverseness of our world. And not only must we be blameless, we must be harmless. That means we must be pure and uncontaminated. Is it possible to do that? Is it possible to live the Christian life in our world? Years ago, sin was hidden. These days, sin is advertised. Years ago, you had to go and look for pornography in forbidden magazines and hide them. These days, they are on the phone and nobody sees you. Where people had to hide to sin, now sin is looking for us alone. In our bedrooms, in our offices, in our cars, on the road, sitting quietly. Temptations are raging against us. Can we live as children of God? So he says God has made us his children. He's made us bearers of his light because he wants us to live blameless and harmless life. But then the Apostle Paul says something very interesting in the narrative there. Verse 14 says, do all things without complaining and disputing. That's how he starts. Prior to that, he's talking about having the mind of Christ, and he's talking about the difficulties Christians have. He says, do all things without complaining and disputes. Does living without complaining and dispute have any effect on our Christian life? That's what we should be asking. Does it have any effect? Because he says we must serve God without complaining. Why is Paul saying we must serve God without complaining? When Paul says we must serve God without complaining, he has something in mind. And what he has in mind is Israel, ancient Israel, in the wilderness. So when he says you must live without complaining, he says don't be like Israel. Don't be like them. Like Christians, the Israelites were also called by God to be light in a world full of idolatry. Just think of it. Israel was the only nation on this earth that served one God. Every nation around them served many gods. And this tiny nation was the only one that served one God. When God delivered Israel from Egypt, it is like how God delivered us from sin. Israel was small, but they were God's people. Just like today, Christians, born-again Christians, are a few, but we are God's people, surrounded by so much evil. Israel was surrounded by so much idolatry. And yet they were supposed to serve God. They were the only nation that lived by God's rules. And to show that they were different, God gave them laws that were very different from everybody. His laws touch every aspect of their lives. They live differently. They worship differently. They circumcise their males. They obey different laws. They eat different kinds of food. Why did God tell them to do everything differently? To show them that they were different people. That's why they ate a different food and did things differently. So all around them, everybody could identify an Israelite. You can identify him by so many ways, by what he eats and what he doesn't eat, how he dresses. All of that, you could just mark them out. That's how God made Israel. And that's how he's also made us. He has given us a different life. But many times, living differently was tough for Israel. They didn't understand why they couldn't be like everybody else. Why does everybody have a God in front of their house and we have no God? Why does everybody eat this and we don't eat it? Why does everybody seem to have an easy life and we have a hard life? So, they complained. And I want us to look at two instances where Israel complained. Just two. Two out of many, many complaints. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 and 3. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to Moses, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." What a complaint. The next chapter, chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. Therefore the whole people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" The people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Something runs through all the complaint. Every time they were in hardship and they complained, they wanted to go back to Egypt. The place of bondage. The place that they cried, "Oh God, deliver us out of it." But any time, little water problem, little food problem, "God, you should have left us in Egypt." So this is what Paul is talking about. He says, if we're going to live as Christians in this perverse and crooked world, we must learn not to complain. What does that mean? Don't desire the life of the world. Don't compare the Christian life with the life of the world. Don't look at unbelievers and say, "Oh, look at unbelievers. How, why? Why is our life so difficult as Christians?" Because, you know, the problem with us is if we complain, we become like the Israelites. When we keep looking back to the world. So you're going to see the unbelievers live their lives and you're going to hunger and thirst for it. So somebody has 10 girlfriends, we also want to have 10 girlfriends. Somebody has 10 men friends, we also want to have 10 men friends. Somebody dresses and exposes their own body, we also want to dress and expose our own body. Somebody gets drunk, we also want to get drunk. Why do you want us to live differently, God? Because you're different. You're different. And when we are, life is hard, we don't look back to the world of sin. Because if we're going to live in this crooked world, we must never, ever desire that life. Because if you do, you will not survive in this world. And that's why Israel, for 40 years, struggled in the wilderness. Because they kept looking back to the old life. I like the old song, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. If no one goes with me, yet I will follow. No turning back, no turning back." Until we treat our Christian life as a no turning back life, we can't survive in this crooked and perverse generation. It is a no turning back. Will it be difficult? Yes. Will there be pressure? Yes. Will we be tempted? Yes. But we're not going back. The cross is before us. The world is behind us. So Paul says, don't complain like they did. And if we don't complain, it means that we trust the Lord to take care of our needs. The Lord showed that he could take care of the needs of Israel. He gave them food, he gave them water, but they still kept complaining. In fact, when they had nothing to complain of, they said, Lord, why don't we have a king like the other nations? God says, okay, you want a king like the other nations? This is what it will mean for you. They said, we don't mind. We want to look like everybody else. We are tired of looking different. Sometimes young Christians feel tired of living the Christian life. They're tired. Why should I obey all these rules? Why should I live a different life? Why can't I be like them? They seem to be having fun. Well, it's a crooked fun. It's a merry-go-round. It looks like fun. They're going, hey, but they're going nowhere. No joy. Isn't it amazing that sometimes the people who are supposed to be the happiest people on earth end up committing suicides and killing themselves and destroying their own lives? And we watch them, we say, oh, they look nice on TV. These are all people who are enjoying the good life. But they can't manage life because it is a crooked and perverse life. And when you are in the wilderness and you don't know where to go, you don't look back. Because God says, you are my children. You are the bearers of light in this crooked and perverse generation. Stop complaining about the Christian life. Stop complaining. We cannot do what everybody does. We can't. We can't live like everybody else. We can't go about living as if there is no God, there is no hope, there is no life, there is no promise. Whatever we feel like doing, we do it. We can't live our life that way. If we do that, then there will be lights off in the world. The world has nothing else to look up to because the people who are the light have turned off the light. And when we who are the light turn off the light, it's finished. This world is doomed when the Christians turn off the light. So the question is your light still on? The world is in darkness, but is your light on? Is your generator working? The neighborhood is in darkness, but do you have light in your house? Do they look at your home and say, whoa, everybody is in darkness, but look at him. He's the light of the world. He has light. She has light. Or they look at us and say, it's lights out. And everybody is in darkness. Woe on this world if the light of the world loses its light. Final thought the Apostle Paul leaves us with. He says to them in verse 16, holding fast the word of life. Hold fast the word of life. I like how he describes the word of God as the word of life. Because it is the word that gives us life. And it is the word that guides our life. Holding fast the word of life. If we're going to be the light in this crooked and perverse generation, then we have to embrace the word of God with all our hearts, with all our might. So this morning, I just want us to ask ourselves a very simple question. Is our light on? Is our light on? Is my light on? Is your light on? Will somebody who is in darkness look at you and say, that guy has his lights on? The whole world is in darkness, but that one has his lights on. When somebody in your office says, it's all dark here, but that one has his lights on. Or they will look at us and say, we're all in darkness. Like the way people say, we go to church, but we all end up here. Doing the same things. They should be able to say, we don't know the way. We are in darkness, but we see there is light in your life. And may the Lord help us to be light bearers in this dark, crooked, and perverse world. So why don't we just talk to the Lord for a moment? Each one of us, just spend a minute or two praying and talking to the Lord and asking the Lord to help us to be light bearers in this dark world. It's hard to live the Christian life. I will be honest with you. It's not easy. It's not easy. What God expects from us, it's not natural. It's unnatural. But we are unnatural people. So ask God to help you so your light doesn't go off. In your marriage, in your life, in your family, amongst your friends, just talk to the Lord. Father, we recognize the weakness of our flesh, the weakness of our mind. But we also recognize the strength of your Holy Spirit and the strength of your word. And Father, we present our weaknesses to you that in you we may find strength. That in this crooked and perverse world, our lights will not go off. Help our lights not to go off. Help us to stay connected to you. To be a witness to the world so the whole world will know that there are witnesses for Jesus Christ on this earth. Help us, Lord, not just to be churchgoers, attending service and participating in a service. Help us, Lord, to do more than that. To be Christ followers, living for Him and doing His will. So this morning we rededicate our lives to you, Lord. We come back to you, Father. We say, Lord, help us to be light bearers in this crooked and perverse world, in our going in our coming out, in our conversations, in our actions, in our activities. Help us, Lord, to keep the light burning in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's keep the light. Let's keep the light on. Let's keep the light on. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbeil, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbeil. Email otterbeil@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.